offences include criminal damage and assault on an emergency worker. The Home Secretary praised officers who faced violence and aggression from some attending a pro-Palestine rally and counter-protesters. Israel's military says a plan to evacuate babies from Gaza's biggest hospital that's lost power is still being developed, as the Palestinian health minister says 12 people have died. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims to have offered it fuel, but neither Hamas or hospital staff have responded to that. Israel claims Al-Shifa is being used as a command center for the militant group. Elsewhere in southern Gaza, surgeon Tom Potokar says he's also working in far from ideal circumstances.
Pleased to say that some of the procedures we have been doing over the last few days, particularly the skin grafting of big defects, have all done very well, so that's reassuring.
The nation fell silent this morning to honour those who've died in conflict. The king laid a wreath at the cenotaph in London. Sports. Liverpool have moved up to second place in the Premier League with a 3-0 win against Brentford. Shane Pinnington is at Anfield.
Well, it's Liverpool 3, Brentford 0. Jurgen Klopp's men making 9 wins in a row here. Move up to second, as you say, with Mo Salah scoring twice to make it 200 goals in English football. He fired home his first from 12 yards, then headed home his second from 6. And Diogo Jota wrapped up the victory with a 20-yard effort from just outside the box. It's finished Liverpool 3, Brentford 0.
Aston Villa have now won 13 home league games in a row thanks to a 3-1 victory against Fulham. Chelsea against Manchester City gets underway in half an hour. Scottish Premiership leaders Celtic, they're up 2-0 up against Aberdeen. And a world record's been broken in India, where more than 2.2 million lamps have burnt for Diwali. Two of the country's cities were recently named as the worst in the world for air quality. And that's the latest. I'm Amante Falkenstein.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
And this is your weather for Sunday, the 12th of November. Tonight, the evening rain is going to be easing away by midnight. Most parts will be briefly dry, but staying largely cloudy across the region. Winds then strengthening through the early hours with further rain, occasionally heavy, spreading north. Minimum temperatures overnight tonight will be 6 degrees. Monday morning, you're going to be waking up to a rather windy and heavy rainy day through the morning. It's going to be persistent for some across the region, but the rain will be clearing by midday with some sunny spells following. The winds will be easing a little, but staying breezy throughout the day. It's going to be a bit milder tomorrow. Maximum temperatures will be 15 degrees Celsius, and that's your weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Welcome to the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Hello. Oh, it's been a funny old start to the episode today, but the nights are drawing colder. Can you feel it? It's getting that chill in the air, isn't it?
So we've got. Wearing her scarf.
I'm wearing scarf and cardigan and everything. I've got 4 layers on. But we've got an upbeat show today with live music to get you moving. We're joined by Shokrat, Sam, Alex and Chris, who together make up the band Groove Sensations.
We'll also have the usual lowdown of the UK's arts and culture scene this week, and a rundown of local events too. And yes, Christmas has begun.
Yay!
So we'll be filling up our listings with craft fairs and places to prepare for the big day. So get in the mood for a party of a show with me, Natalie.
And me, Claire, on the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
When a woman acquires a certain age, and the men who adored you no longer swoon, it pays to avoid the sunlit days and live by the light of the kindly moon. But the moon grows old, just like us all, and her beautiful years are done. So now she prays through endless days to take her revenge on the sun. When I was a girl at my daddy's side, the Father Royal Mortician, revealed to me in secret signs the mark of a magician. And Daddy was no dummy, did outrageous things with the mummy, and often the stiffs that he would drive would look better dead than they did alive. I studied well, I learned the trade, I thought my looks would never fade. If I could find that recipe to give eternal youth to me, it was always my ambition to use Papa's tuition and gain some small remission from the vagaries of time. Every little ray of sunshine robbed me of my youth. Who to blame, who the one, who to curse? You know the only one to blame would be my enemy, the sun. With glee, the promises you made to me, I've really stopped at nothing. Murder, treachery, and lying. Whatever it takes to keep my looks, you really can't blame a girl for trying.
Snuff out the light.
Was that? Tell me about that song.
So this is chosen on the basis of our music theme being Groove. So
yeah.
This is from The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, okay.
So this
okay.
Yzma's song, which was actually performed by Eartha Kitt.
Amazing. I reckon, yeah. I thought, there was a little bit when I thought, that can't be Eartha Kitt, can it?
Yeah.
But that's amazing.
So that was called Snuff Out the Light. And of course, it was from The Emperor's New Groove, which was performed by Eartha Kitt. And while the song was featured on The Emperor's New Groove soundtrack, it was never featured in the film, which is because the song belongs to an early concept of the film, Kingdom of the Sun,
okay.
Which was a more serious film than what was actually released in cinemas. Because, yeah, Emperor's New Groove was quite silly, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So instead of Cuzco being turned into a llama, he would have been secretly switched with a villager that looks exactly like him, creating a prince and pauper type scenario. Meanwhile, Yzma plans to destroy the sun so that she can have eternal youth, with her plans laid out in the song we just played. I think I prefer The Emperor's New Groove with Kronk and the silly squirrel talk.
I'm going to have to watch this one again. It's not one I know very well. I think I've watched it once, maybe.
Me and Charlotte used to watch this quite a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Quite a lot, The Emperor's New Groove.
Oh.
And the following Emperor's New Grooves, and Kronk's New Groove, and all of them.
I think I watched it when the kids were little, or at some point with the kids. And is it the same principle as The Emperor's New Clothes? Is it drawing from that?
I don't know. I guess you could say so on the fact that he's an emperor and he's not very nice, but actually he just gets turned into a llama very early on in the movie.
Okay.
Is
he better as a llama? Is he a nicer person?
He becomes a nicer person.
Right, okay.
For a lot of the films, he's still not a very nice person as a llama either.
Oh.
And so Kronk, who is Yzma's sidekick, is actually the nicest guy in the whole film.
Okay.
Which is also bizarre. It's all just really bizarre.
It is a bit bizarre. It's a very interesting concept, but obviously turning you into a llama is not guaranteed to turn you into a nice person.
No, exactly. And I think that's the moral of the story.
The moral of the story is don't turn yourself into a llama because you can't guarantee it'll make you nicer.
Yes.
Well, I like that.
And how's your week been, Claire?
It's been a bit full on this week. I have managed to get out and about a little bit, but yeah, it's that kind of feeling of things. You know, you try and do, like, if you work in any world where you don't have seasonal work, you just have work all year round, and you try and get a lot done before Christmas. And I think there's also that kind of sense of once September's over, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be ages before Christmas. And then before you know it, it's like a third of the way through November and it's like leering at you. And I think it's just that thing about we all plough in so much to do before the end of the year. Yeah. And it's just that's starting to kind of the crunch
those
point.
Social things. Oh, we must see each other before the end of the year. And we must do this on one weekend leading up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And we must do this and we must do this. Before you know it, all of the weekend.
I know, my friends were having a go at me. Not having a go at me. They were pulling my leg a bit about the fact that I wanted to go to that Christmas food and drink fair last weekend. Mm-hmm. And they were all like, oh, it's far too early to be thinking about Christmas. And I'm like, how can you even say that? Because there's so little time now between Christmas.
There's not that many weekends in December this year, right?
No.
Because Christmas Eve is on, what is it, the Saturday?
Christmas Eve's on the Saturday. Yeah. Oh, it's on the Sunday.
On the Sunday. So you miss a weekend.
Yeah.
There.
So, you know.
You don't really go on Christmas Eve, do you?
Well, this is what they're saying. This is what some people do. They wait until Christmas Eve. They're going to wait until the 23rd to go and do all their shopping. But I just think that sounds like the worst nightmare ever to go anywhere on Saturday. On Saturday the 23rd.
I mean, it might be clearer, but will they still be selling the stuff that you want to buy?
Well, no, because it's, you know what shops look like on the 23rd. Yeah. It's like,
they're either vacant or new stock has already been put in January.
Oh, it's just chaos because it's like thrown everywhere. People are panic buying, and I just think like
all of the retail staff are drunk on shandy behind the door.
They're all snogging in the back room because it's Christmas and they can't be asked anymore. You know, can't be bothered anymore. It's all of that stuff happens on that last weekend of shopping before Christmas, and I can't bear it. I just on Saturday the 23rd, I want to be putting my feet up with a nice glass of something and a mince pie, going
and your apple flavoured biscuits,
my apple flavoured cinnamon biscuits, just going, ha ha ha, it's all done. I feel very good about myself.
I can have my one day off.
I can have a real day off. I am actually taking off 2 weeks at Christmas. I'm really, really looking forward to this.
This is how the other half live, people.
Oh my goodness me, I really can't wait. I mean, you know, taking 2 weeks off, but actually some of it I'll end up doing something. Of course I'll end up doing some work or other. I think I've got to write my sister a funding application, but I might have to do that on my holiday in a couple of weeks time because I have got a holiday coming up.
I guess that is family, right? So technically not
work. Not technically not work, but you know, writing somebody else's funding application in my book, still work. Anywho, how's your week been? Oh, well, before I go on to you, can I just hold the microphone for two more seconds? So this week was the thing I was waiting for months and months and months, and I went to see it in Cambridge with my friends, Uncanny Live.
Yes,
and
you did mention it last week.
I've been mentioning it pretty much every week for about
for
a year.
6 months.
Yeah. So Uncanny Live came around, and it's still going on tour, so there are some dates still around if you want to try and catch them over in Guildford and Oxford and a few of the places like that before they go off to Northern Ireland. So this is if you don't know about Uncanny Live, clearly you're not following the show, clearly not following our show,
clearly not a friend of mine.
Clearly you're not a friend of mine. But this is Danny Robbins, who has kind of just taken this zeitgeist moment post lockdown around the kind of need to understand what is afterlife, you know, what happens, and are there people and are there connections that we can make, and this kind of, you know, fear of the ending of mortality and a desperate need to know what's going on, because, you know, real life is awful and it's hard and it's difficult and there's there's some really hideous stuff going on at the moment. So he has got his podcast. He's been on TV now. He had some couple of shows on BBC. He's got a book that he's just written that you can get in paperback and audiobook. And I've listened to the audiobook. It's really cool. And now he's taking it out live. So he's doing a live tour around the UK. And it was really good. It was just like his being on his podcast. So, you know, there was all the other live events that he's done. So he had his two, he had his skeptic and he had his believer on stage that came in every now and then. And the wonderful Evelyn, who's kind of on his program quite a lot. She's just stunning, really beautiful woman and just really exciting woman to hear from her kind of possession. She also, as a believer, she just makes things sound scientifically possible, even though you know they're not, or they couldn't, like, could they? But she has all like these like factual, like, you know, in the paranormal world, we call it this, yes, we call this that, and you just kind of go, well, I can really get sucked in. Interestingly, though, I'm a skeptic, and I'm a skeptic up until the point where I'm too scared to say that I'm a skeptic, and then I'll say I'm a believer. So if I'm in the house on my own, I'm a believer. If I'm in the house with lots of people, I'm a skeptic, and I don't believe. So it depends on how terrified I'm feeling. Depends how many mice are running around with my cats chasing them. And I don't know that they're there, depending on whether I'm a skeptic or a believer. Because the noise is in the house, you know, when you're kind of sitting there going, what's that? No. It's just the mice. But the two friends that I went with, who I know really, really well, they're both believers. And I was really surprised. I wasn't expecting that. So that was really interesting. But yeah, so he had lots of interaction from the floor. He had two new stories to tell. Really great, simple set, but it's kind of set up to look like his shed in his garden where he writes, with lots of interesting kind of projections and video projections. And there's lots of bits. If you've seen, he's also written a play, because this man is unstoppable. He's written 222, and the little techniques, the theatrical techniques to kind of surprise you and get you with screams, jump screams, with blackouts, with little you know, ghostly movements in the background from a projection. He throws all of that in as well. It's good fun.
I hate jump scares.
Oh, I love a jump scare. I was like, I don't get jump scared very often. And then somebody two seats away from me kept absolutely leaping out of their seat, and the whole row was shaking. So yeah, that was the one thing I got to do. And then, of course, just volunteering at the Hermit, which is going really, really well. We've got two musicians, professional musicians in the space, and they're getting everyone to kind of get up and play different songs, and it's starting to really hang together. So that was really cool as well. And I can just tell you what I've been watching on TV.
Which I've seen from the show notes is...
Wolf. Oh my God. Wolf. Well, yes. I mean, I've watched...
you were going to say Doctor Who.
Well, I watched a bit of that. I went back to that. But I don't... I'm not sure whether you should go back.
Oh, we've been doing it for months.
But you know, like...
We've got one series left until we're completely caught up.
But no, you can go right back now. You know, you can go way back.
Those as well. I'm not such a fan of those.
It's like the Star Wars moment, isn't it? I was kind of... As a child, it was a big part of our childhood, having Doctor Who and having that kind of moment every week watching Doctor Who and Tom Baker, and kind of, you know, from Tom Baker onwards is really my Doctor Who. And I watched a few of the Tom Bakers and I was like, oh no, these are excruciating. So I was like, well, it's everything. It's the set, it's the special effects.
I quite like the aliens.
Yeah, aliens are fun.
We watched one the other day where they were just covered in bubble wrap.
Yes.
It was really enjoyable.
Yeah. I mean, I can really appreciate some of the arts and crafts that went into Doctor Who. But also, I was just a little bit like, I'm a bit bored. The stories are a bit dull. So I'm not sure whether, and I'm probably, you know, that's probably the worst thing to say in front of any Doctor Who fan, but I'm just wondering whether I just need to keep Doctor Who the original series of Doctor Who in my memory as this amazing thing that I had as a childhood, and not try and go back to it as an adult. But no, the thing that I have watched is Wolf.
Okay.
Oh my God, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It's a six-part series on BBC iPlayer. And the premise is that it's kind of a detective-led thriller drama. And I'm not going to give you too much away. I just really would recommend watching. There's some standout acting in it. There's some twists and turns, which I really liked. And if you like things like, you know, Happy Valley, or... It's kind of different to that, but it's... it's on that ilk of kind of drama of stuff going on. It's nothing to do with supernatural. It's all to do with kind of people and you know, things that happen to people. But I can't give too much away because it's just, I just thought it was really, really cool, and I got quite gripped into it, and I finished it last night and I was like, oh wow. A lot of it I was like going, but who is this person? What are they? What? So yeah, it was good. Enjoyed it.
And that you've just binged.
I have binged, yeah. That literally in between all the work that I've done this week, I've just been binging Wolf. Anyway, how was your week?
Yeah, I mean, I've not really been watching TV so much other than Doctor Who. So yeah, I've been watching a couple of those old ones. But yeah, I guess going back to what you were saying before about people kind of ramping up towards Christmas and kind of resolving things. So I think my week has been very much about reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously for the Mercury, we are ramping up to Christmas and that's very full on. But in terms of the No Collective, actually a lot of projects have finished. We had a session on Friday at the Backstage Centre with Havering Changing to kind of reflect on the last 4 years of the programme. It's been 4 years already.
Wow.
We've wrapped up phase two. We hit all of our targets, which is amazing. And we're kind of taking a break now to look at how to kind of radicalise the programme a bit more starting from April next year. So lots of reflection there. And then I was over at the town hall on Wednesday, as part of a GLA civil society event, which again was about reflection of how we can bring equity into community work more. So
okay.
Lots of reflection.
That's nice.
And it's quite nice to spend some time actually learning from these events as well, because I don't feel like I ever actually have the chance to stop and reflect, especially the Mayor of London civil society event that was literally there for people from community groups to come together and learn what they're doing and what impact it makes and how to do more of it as well. So yeah, it was all quite nice.
Nice.
I had a day off yesterday.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. I just don't know what to do with myself.
Is it ramping up now? So the next few weekends you're going to be Christmas-tastic?
Yeah, I think Christmas is going to be full on for just the rest of the month and December as well. The Santa's Grotto has already opened.
Wow.
In Romford.
Have you switched your lights on yet?
Yeah, lights are up at the end of Halloween week.
Wow.
So before Halloween, actually. So yeah, we are already Christmas. And actually, there's one thing that I need to mention, which is an event that Spencer said that I needed to mention before I left for the studio. So he is showing The Old Oak, which is the Ken Loach film that's just come out at Orchard Village Mardyke Community Hall. So it's kind of an experiential film screening for the DVD of The Old Oak.
Okay.
So you can go along to this free screening, which is next Saturday, and you can enjoy some foods from different cultures, which is very much about what the film's about, share and learn about each other's cultures. And then there's going to be an interview session, which is going to make the outtakes of the DVD. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so Studio Canal have done this big kind of launch program, which is very much about community assimilation and cultural appreciation. And Spencer's been really lucky in terms of the film festival to be able to get a copy of that and be part of their regional screening program.
And where's that going to be held? So if you wanted to go
that's
along?
At the Mardyke Community Centre, and it's next Saturday. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite via Havering Changing.
Great.
So yeah, definitely recommend that you go see that. So that's another thing that we're ramping up to.
Fantastic.
But yeah, we should listen to some music,
should
we?
Should we? Because we've got a groovelicious program today. So I went with the everything that's about groove.
Yeah.
Let's start with the obvious one, because the groove is in the heart.
We're going to dance. We're going to dance. We're going to dance. And have some fun.
Satisfaction when we're done, satisfaction of what's to come. I couldn't ask for another. Your groove, I do deeply dig. No walls, only the bridge. My supper dish, my succotash wish.
Sing it, baby.
I couldn't ask for another.
can't be sold. He's not vicious or malicious, just lovely and delicious. I couldn't ask for another.
Lurks in this torso. Yeah. Heart got a deal you wanna know. Delightful, truly delightful. Life making it, doing it, especially at a show. Feeling kinda high like a Hendrix haze. Music makes motion moves like a maze. All inside of me, heart especially. Yeah. Hilt of a rhythm, where I wanna be. Come on, flowing, glowing with electric eyes. You dip to the dive, baby, you'll realize. Yeah. Baby, you'll see the funk inside of me. Baby, you'll see that rhythm is a key. Get witty, witty, can't think, quitty, quitty. Stomp on the street when I hear funk with blue playing pop pipe. Follow her to shoot, baby, just sing about the groove.
Sing it.
The
groove is in the heart.
Y'all are crazy, man.
Phoenix FM.
Once upon a time,
Cinderella,
the most magical fairy tale of them all.
You will never go to the ball.
A girl who dares to dream.
On the stroke of midnight, the spell will be broken, and everything will be as it was before.
Goodbye, my prince.
Wait, I don't even know your name.
We're back at the Towngate Theatre, Basildon, with Cinderella. There's magic, flying horses, and dreams that really do come true. From November to the 2nd of January. Book now at towngatetheatre.co.uk.
Magic's working.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do, if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy, whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0777 609 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
Get boogie down, down the home ground. The boogie down, down the home ground. The boogie down, down the home ground. The boogie down.
you cannot have a show about groove without Earth, Wind and Fire. Let's groove.
But they just groove for so
they
long.
They groove forever.
They groove on repeat for minutes and minutes and minutes.
How long is that song?
I think it's only 4 minutes, actually. Right. It's just that last bit where they just repeat the same thing over and over again. Feels like an eternity.
An eternity of groove. Yeah, we're trying something new out today. We've got a live band in the studio later on. We hope that's going to all work brilliantly. But they're really nice people, so we're looking forward to that one.
Very excited. All from various places in London.
Across the spectrum of London.
Yes.
Yes. But first off, we've got some national and international news. Tell us what is happening with Picasso.
With Picasso. So, the Picasso masterpiece kicks off auction season, forecast to sell for $2.5 billion in art. So this is a news report from The Guardian this week, saying that the 1932 painting of Secret Golden Muse heralds the first big lot of autumn, with Warhol and Rothko works also up for sale. So it's due to trigger a $120 million plus bidding war between billionaire art collectors on Wednesday night.
Let's just say that again. It's $120 million. That's insane.
Oh, dollars, sorry, yes.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's huge, though. And I guess this being a hidden artwork, it's something that is kind of incomprehensible in terms of how much it's worth, because it wasn't something that was kind of in and around and tradable up until now. So very exciting.
But it's like it's a whole auction season as well, isn't it? So it's expecting whole auction season is expecting to net about $2.5 billion
as well. Yeah.
Wow. There's still people with money out there, Natalie.
It shows how investable art is.
Yeah. Well, yes, it does improve with age.
Yes.
And like cars.
Unlike cars.
Yeah.
Another one on the visual art scene, A Kiss, A Queen and A Battered Venus. The art fund celebrates 120 years of saving art. So this week, the National Charity of Art, established on the 11th of November 1903, reaches its 120th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, the art fund.
I didn't realise it was that old, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. And on that, the largest grant in history was actually from earlier this year. $2.5 million was spent to save Joshua Reynolds' portrait of my, brackets, oh my, which is a portrait of the first Polynesian man to visit Britain.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I've seen that, actually.
Beautiful painting.
Yeah.
What I was just looking at if the Art Fund was doing anything else to celebrate their birthday. But of course, the other thing that the Art Fund runs is the National Art Pass, which is a great thing. That's a membership model. You subscribe for the year and then you get free access or reduced access to all sorts of paying museums and art galleries across the whole of the
UK.
You
get invited to quite a lot of private views as well, don't you?
You do. I have been a member of the Art Fund, National Art Pass. It's been a great thing to have. But yeah, that's nice. They do lots of really great things at supporting not just visual arts, but museums and heritage and other things as well. So if you didn't know about the Art Fund, check them out.
Definitely one to look up.
What's going on in Kiev?
So, Kiev. Unfortunately, Kiev is deeply outraged over an attack on Odessa's National Art Museum. Mm. So I thought I should mention this because obviously that war is still happening. It's not really in the news so much, but this is awful that the National Art Museum has been targeted. Mm. It is actually a UNESCO site, and the governor of the Odessa region said most of the collection had already been removed during the war, and nothing was damaged. But it is just the audacity of
targeting
an art museum. It's very sad.
It's really difficult at the moment, isn't it? There's war, but also the anti-oil protests that have happened recently that have targeted cultural venues and paintings.
Interestingly, the Art Fund helped to restore the painting that they destroyed.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of, you know, each their own. We won't share our personal views on that one, but I personally...
Different forms of protest work in different ways, don't they?
Yes, I think there's a range of protests that you can do, but I'm not quite sure that I would stand in front of a painting and do that as a protest. But, you know, gets national attention, so I guess that's what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
This is a nice one. Street bollards in Stratford-upon-Avon. So this reminds me of Concrete Canvas in Chelmsford because there's quite a few of the bollards in Chelmsford that are used in this way. But in Stratford-upon-Avon town centre, they've got a new look this autumn thanks to an innovative new public realm project. They're getting an artistic makeover and have become public works of art in a scheme organised by the local councillor using their delegated budget, which is available to all members of Warwickshire County Council, to bring improvements to local highways. Councillor Tim Sinclair, ward member for Stratford North, has used some of his councillor delegated budget funding to bring the art to six bollards in Mere Street in Stratford-upon-Avon. Working closely with a strategic partnership there, a group of organisations who work to improve the town of Stratford-upon-Avon for the future, Councillor Sinclair commissioned a talented local artist, Ilona Pike, to deliver this project. And they are really beautiful, actually. They've got obviously they've got lots of Stratford related buildings and things on them, but that's
very quaint and colourful.
Yeah, very colourful. Nice way to bring public art into everybody's daily life.
And what I really love about this is that it is directly funded by the council.
Yes.
As something to improve the town.
Who knew that council members had personal budgets?
Yeah.
But there they do. But, you know, thank you to Councillor Tim. They do everywhere, actually. Thank you to Councillor Tim Sinclair for using his personal allocation to fund some. I mean, it's not personal to him, obviously. It's a delegated budget that he has access to. But thank you to him for using that on art. I think that's a really important statement.
Yes.
Over in Coronation Street, what's going on?
Coronation Street, lad. Well, this is another area where maybe a personal budget could be put to good use. So former Coronation Street actress Julie Hemshow has said arts and culture matter massively to small, struggling northern towns, ahead of a flash mob event to save a local theatre. Yeah. So this is obviously the news of Oldham Coliseum looking to close its doors after funding was cut earlier in the year. It's also been quite high profile in terms of Christopher Eccleston has been talking about it this week as well. So lots of celebrities coming forward and saying that the Coliseum was really big for them when they were starting out, and it's very special for the communities around the area as well who don't have so much access to arts and culture.
Yeah. And opera has taken a bit of a hit since the pandemic. So Norwich Theatre is calling for a clearer strategy for the future of opera based around some research that was undertaken by a UK arts organisation that's found the demand for the genre hasn't dropped. I thought it had dropped, but it hasn't dropped since the pandemic. So basically there was quite a lot of furore around opera and opera funding over the last couple of years. And what this research is saying from Norwich Theatre is saying that there's still a need for opera. Touring opera performances bring opera to places like Norwich, but they are in peril due to the funding cuts that have been across the whole of the sector. Having this week published new audience insight research indicating enduring demand for opera, Norwich Theatre is calling on the Arts Council of England to provide a clearer strategy for the future of the art form across the UK. The organisation, Norwich Theatre, is one of the largest in the east of England and comprises three venues of Theatre Royal, Playhouse and Stage 2, confirmed that while it acknowledges Arts Council's independently conducted analysis, they are calling for a clearer strategy and action plan that represents all voices for the future of opera in the regions. As one of the regular venues of Glyndebourne's touring circuit for more than 50 years, the organisation has been affected by Glyndebourne's decision not to tour following funding cuts. I don't think we've really... I think there's so much to be done around opera at the moment. Yeah. We haven't quite... nobody's quite nailed what to be done. So this is clearly a start of there needs to be something. There needs to be something clearer.
There's some thirst for it, but how it's going to be funded
needs to be
discussed in a big way.
And, you know, touring is just such a problematic and challenging thing anyway. And now it's even... you know, it's becoming even harder. So... that's some national news. We are going to come back in a minute with some of the more amazingly fantastic Christmassy things that you can do over the next few months. But let's get back to our groovy tracks. This is, of course, Groove Armada featuring Grandma Funk. I see you, baby.
This is the house that Funk built. Groove Armada style. All right, I'm checking all y'all out this evening. I see you sitting around. But we ain't gonna have none of that this evening, child. That's right. Don't be looking at me like that. See, my name is Grandma Funk, y'all. Funk if you're nasty, darling. And you got to be see you, baby, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass. I see you, baby, shaking that ass, shaking that ass. I see you, baby, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass. I see you, baby. And get sexy with it. Woo! I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't be looking at me like that now. I see ya. Come on. I see ya. Get busy with it. Make it on down. I see you, baby. Shaking that ass. Shaking that ass. Shaking that ass. I see you, baby.
Active Signs and Designs Limited, our team are passionate about getting you noticed. First impressions are everything. So if you're driving a commercial vehicle, how are people seeing you? Our vehicle graphic products and well-designed signage can make you stand out from the crowd. Give the team a call on 01708 343 555 or visit us at activesignsanddesigns.co.uk and start getting your business noticed today.
This little cottage came to market. This stylish flat made a home. This country house had hundreds of steps, whilst this bungalow had none. And this little semi said, "Me, me, me, make me your home."
Whatever your property requirements, Beresford's have it covered. To book your free valuation, pop into one of our 17 branches across Essex and into Greater London, or visit beresfords.co.uk.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House. With Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis, and Daryl Privet. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Phoenix FM.
It's Christmas.
And what's happening locally, Claire?
Well, get your decks and handmade gifts locally. Here's all some events, craft fairs and art sales in and around Essex that you can do over the next couple of weeks. So So head over to Laya Marney Tower for the Essex County Craft Fair. Love it. Between the 17th and 19th of November. Come and see me, because I'm going to go. Anything for a craft fair. There's 120 stalls featuring a vast range of food, drinks, crafts, gifts, handmade items, festive decorations, and all for you to find that perfect gift that you need to buy now, so that you're not in that mad Christmas rush the weekend before.
That looks like a real dwell time one there as well. Like, you can
absolutely
go and hang out, because they've got heated tents there.
Oh, I know. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, heated shopping marquees. And what can you want more than a heated shopping marquee? Throughout the grounds, you can have some mulled wine and mince pies at the bar. There's some live music and
there's
festive food and drink stalls, family entertainment. There's
free
some
parking.
Seating. sounds great. Laya Marney Tower from the 17th to the 19th of November. And competing with that,
if you don't want to be there for the full 3 days, just take 2 days there. And on Saturday the 18th of November, you can go to Langham Christmas Handmade Fair, which is at the Community Centre in Colchester. That's between 10 and 4 p.m. And there you can also indulge in the local artistry of talented artisans and crafters, showcasing their remarkable handmade creations. You can immerse yourself in a world of beautiful hand-knitted scarves, delicate ceramic ornaments, stunning jewellery, bespoke home decor, aromatic candles, and so much more. This is the perfect opportunity to find distinctive gifts that will bring joy to your loved ones during Christmas season.
And also, it's free entry and there's free parking. But also, I'm just going to do a big, I think this is, it really is important to do a big plug for buying locally, and, you know, buying local arts and crafts, buying local kind of artisans. It's really important to keep our local and our creative industry going. So if you can get out to these places, please do. On Saturday, the 26th of November, from 12 till 6, it's lighting up Brentwood on the High Street. The High Street isn't going to be closed this year. It's all going to be set around the
Bay Tree.
The Bay Tree Centre. The Piazza, they're calling it. The Bay Tree Centre Piazza. So in the summer, it's where the sandpit usually
fancy
is.
Right now.
Yeah, so in the summer, it's a sandpit, and in the winter, it's a piazza. Mm-hmm. So it's apparently, it's going to be the largest annual. It's in Brentwood, it's our largest annual event. I think it's bigger than even than Strawberry Fair, I think, with lots of people coming down to see the Christmas lights being switched on by the mayor. And the High Street, I wasn't sure whether the High Street is going to be closed or not, actually, because it's all happening on the piazza. But I'm sure we can find out more next week.
And there's definitely some parking there. Somewhere.
But we do know that there will be lots of performers, and there'll be some of the Phoenix Music Crew performing at that as well. So some familiar voices you'll see at that.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
Something but a little bit smaller for the next week. We've got, that's the same week. Saturday, 25th of November, we've got Blackmore Christmas Craft Market. So this is, if you're over in Blackmore and you want to do something very locally, St Lawrence Church has a little craft market on. I couldn't find too much information about this, but there is somebody selling chili sauces, jam and chutney, and alcoholic jams, which
nice.
I think is enough of a reason to go.
Yeah, alcoholic jam. Gosh,
yes.
I mean, that's what you want to get up for on a Christmas morning. Saturday the 9th of December, it's Snow's Christmas Stocking Filler Fair in Romford from 10 till 4. It's an annual... Oh,
yes.
Snow's, I see what you've done.
Snow's.
It's an annual fundraising event for the No Collective at the Mercury in Romford. They'll be there on the 9th, and we'll have everything from handmade gifts to free children's activities, character visits, look forward to those, and lots more other entertainment. You can, it's free to join, and you can book a stand for £20 if you get hold of Jill, G-I-L-L, at nocollective.co.uk if you want a stall for that
I
one on the 9th.
The free craft as well is some snappy Christmas crackers, so
nice.
You can make a Christmas cracker that looks like a crocodile.
I make my Christmas crackers every year.
So you can come down and make them here as well.
I do. It drives my kids nuts, but every year I do homemade Christmas crackers. I love it.
I quite enjoy it too, especially if they look like crocodiles.
Oh yeah, that would be much more fun if they look like crocodiles. Right, have we got time for a bit more music before we go into other things?
Yeah, let's go for it. Let's have Michelle David and the Gospel Sessions with It's a Soulful
nice
Christmas. Response.
Favorite time of year. Can you feel the soul? It's a soul.
Song, isn't it? The Eagles.
I know, I'm quite like, it's a swaying one, isn't it? You got to sway to the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's giving us a little moment, though. We're having a little moment in the studio. It's a little Christmas moment.
Maybe it's too beautiful to talk over the top of, and we've just ruined everyone.
No, it's all right. We need to talk about our panto.
Yes. So, when is the panto, Claire?
It's on the... isn't it on the 17th of December? Let me double check. Yes, it is. Sunday the 17th of December. Put that date in your diary for the first ever and possibly last ever live panto on the arts programme on Phoenix FM. Mm. It's very exciting. Can you give us any little sneak previews at all about this panto?
Well, I can tell you that it's been written by Charlotte Bowes.
Yeah.
And there is a number of DJ radio hosts in it that all